Welcome to the Queer Confidence Podcast, the podcast to help you become your most confident queer self. I'm your host, he, she, they, Coach Alex Ray, and I haven't always been this confident. In fact, I used to be super insecure. And through this show, I want to share with you what's worked for me, my clients, and my guests so that you can become more confident. Hello, hello, unicorns. Welcome back to part two of my conversation with Simone Saul. Enjoy.
We came up with like incredibly similar policies for our advanced mastermind containers without ever talking to each other. We like independently made these decisions that were incredibly similar. And I would love to talk about that.
Same. Do you want to go first? Do you want to share first?
No, I'll go first. Okay. Okay. So, because I've been thinking about all these things for a while, and you know, I thought I spent a lot of time thinking about how I wanted to make my containers a safe space. And one thing that I want to say before I forget to say it is that I am not at all presenting myself as like, oh, I got this all figured out perfectly. I don't either. And all of it is an experiment. And I bet if Alex and I, you know, got together in another 2 years to talk about this, we'll probably be talking about all the mistakes we're making in 2022, you know? So it's my mantra is like, I'm always going to be making spectacular mistakes and learning richly from all of them. Right. So it's, I'm probably making a new set of mistakes as I go along, but you know what? I'm going to be fucking sure that I learned from all of them. So here is the experiment that I'm conducting now with my mastermind, which is to make accountability explicit. Meaning, up until now, I haven't seen examples where people go into a coaching container, especially a group coaching container, and like be able to, like you kind of have to guess at what you think the leader thinks that they're accountable for. And when you think that they're not being accountable for something, you have to be like, you have a very hard choice of like, do I say something and be gaslit? Or do I just like brainwash myself into thinking that this is okay and I should just change my own thoughts about it? And so I wanted to be very explicit from the beginning. We are accountable to a set of standards here. I'm accountable to a set of standards, and all of you are accountable to a set of standards for yourselves and to each other, for all of us to have the greatest experience. So I literally made a list of, I think it was like, I don't know, like 7 things, 10 things. Here are my commitments to you, and I expect you to hold me accountable for them. One, I commit to, one of them was like, I commit to making this space a safe space for you to disagree with me, for you to do things differently, for something like that. So that was one of them. It went on and on. And those questions were based on what I thought were my most important values that I wanted to express through this container. And I also wrote a list of, because accountability is two-way, right? I don't have power over every single experience you have. If I pretended to, that would be a different form of gaslighting. So if you want to get the most out of this experience, this is going to be your commitment to yourself, right? You're going to ask for what you need. You are going to, what else was there? I can't remember, but it was all things that, again, I thought reflected the highest values of the container. And we are going to do 2 sets of evaluations. I'm going to ask everyone to fill out a survey with anonymous, with these questions, like, did Simone succeed in the commitment that she made to you? Question number one, what about this other commitment? And then they're going to rate their assessment of how I did from 1 to 5. Like, yes, that commitment, she lived up to it. That commitment, that one, I'm not so sure. And then they're going to be given a chance to like talk about it. And it's going to be, you don't have to put your name on it. So it, all of their feedback gets to me, and I get to find out my students' perception of whether I lived up to my own commitments.
Ooh, I love this.
And it makes me want, it's making my butthole clench all the way up. And you know what? I would rather do this and learn about how I can do better as a teacher and as a leader of space than protect my ego and not be curious and not learn and just go, la, 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 la. Everybody loves me, right? Oh, by the way, Alex, that's another thing that I was thinking a lot about is my ADHD brain. How easy it is when lots of people love you and you are like known and you're like successful, how easy it is to just cherry pick like what you want to believe about yourself and what you want to hear. And whoever disagrees or whoever has criticism for you to be like, oh, well, they're just haters, and just like shut that out of your mind. It's so easy to do that. The more fans you have, why would you listen to critics and honestly examine yourself when you could just listen to all your fans? It's so much less threatening for your ego.
It is. It's so much more comfortable.
And I decided that's something I really want to watch out for as I gain more visibility and become wealthier. It's like, I've seen so many leaders just drink that poison of like, I mean, starting with like our biggest like political leaders, right? Why do they do fucked up shit? Because they're only listening to like, yes, man, like the people around them that they surround themselves with, their acolytes are like, you're so great. Whatever you do is amazing. Don't listen to those haters. And they like curate the information that reaches the leaders. Yes. Like this happens on giant political stages. It happens with entrepreneurs. And I was like, I do not fucking want that to happen to me, right? So if I have been entrusted with the care of these human beings' minds for this purpose, if I'm not living up to my commitments, that doesn't mean everybody has to like what I do all the time. I don't care if you like what I do. I just care that we are all here for the same transformation and that we are being upfront and honest and explicit about what our commitments are to each other and how we live up to them. So what was I saying? Oh yeah. So that's one of the things that I am doing. As a human being, it's fucking awful and scary. And it's what I'm doing next to learn more about how to be a more ethical leader. Your turn.
I
pass the baton to you. Well, can you tell us about, I know you did something very similar, but can you tell us specifically about the part where, what you have your clients do when they feel unsafe or when they have a problem with something that in the container? Cause mic drop. So good.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I thought of this when creating I did a similar thing with like agreement, for my mastermind. We started back in January, and, I love your list of commitments. I do have a section on there where it's like, here's how I will show up for you.
Yeah.
Here's how I want you to show up for yourself. Some very similar, but you've also got my brain thinking like, how could I make it like a fun, like list of these items that makes it even clearer, more obvious.
Fun/terrifying.
Terrifying. Oh my God. When I was putting it together, I was so uncomfortable because I decided, okay, well, I felt like there was some accountability lacking in other spaces that I've been, in many spaces I've been. For example, this is like kind of hard to just drop in here. I grew up with, I started therapy in second grade. I was in and out since then. And I've been on and off medication, and I was actively on depression medication when I attempted suicide back in 2017. I was telling my psychiatrist that the medication wasn't working, but he refused to switch it. And I also almost got in a car accident on another medication that he had me on. I ran off the road, thankfully didn't hit anything and got back on, but like I fully fell asleep at the wheel and crossed two lanes of bumper to bumper traffic and went into the grass. So anyway, like shit like that, but I didn't know like who can I go to?
Yeah.
I don't know. And now I know like there's like probably a board or something somewhere I could go to, right? And be like, hey, I had this really awful
experience. But they don't exactly tell you, like, if you have a problem with what the doctor is offering you, here's where you can go to. So they don't tell us how the fuck we're supposed to know.
Right. So experiences like that, when I was creating this mine, I was like, oh boy, this is going to make me my butthole bucker. I'm going to throw up here. Why am I about to do this? But I need to. I put my assistant's contact information. So I said like, hey, if you have a problem with me ever, here's my contact information. Please reach out to me directly. And if you do not feel comfortable doing that, please contact my assistant. So at least there's someone else, right? And and he can be like a mediator. He can kind of help out. Now with the new iteration, now that I'm ICF accredited, I'm going to put the contact information for the ICF, because I also, if I'm not adhering to their standards, then I can lose my accreditation. So that's a nice way of like handing some very obvious power. Like, again, I do believe that everyone, whether they're Dom or Sub, has power, but like often they forget. So I'm making it really obvious. Like, here's the contact information. FYI, like, I'll be examined by a board. And like, that's if awesome. I'm found to like have failed this, then like, poof, there goes my certification. Like, you've got the power, friend, right? So my new assistant will be on there, the ICF board, with like clear directions how to contact them. Again, I want to vomit when I think about that, but also I think that's necessary. I think that's, if it didn't make me nervous, then I wouldn't care. So I'm glad it makes me nervous.
Yeah.
And if I didn't put it on there, then why not? Do I really think that I'm going to do something that's going to like screw everyone over?
Right. So when I was thinking about, you know, creating these, you know, client evaluations of whether I'm doing my job and whether they're getting what they came for, I was talking to a mentor of mine and about how scary that was and how much I didn't want to do it. And they were asking me like, why? Right. And I went through the exact same sort of self-coaching, like, why don't I, like, what am I afraid of? That they're going to say, a bunch of people are going to say, oh, Simone's doing a terrible job. Okay. So what am I afraid about that? Am I afraid that it's true? Am I then in which case, what am I doing where I'm insecure? Right. Or is it because something else? And I have to go all the way to like what I was really afraid of. Right. And from that, it was horrible, uncomfortable, terrible, scary work. But, you know, when I got to the end of it, it was really like, I would rather learn how to be like a worthy steward, a worthier steward of these kinds of spaces. I would rather learn how to be a better teacher and coach through the pain of being told that I'm doing it wrong and examine my role in that. And the thing is, like, if somebody says, hey, Simone, you're doing it wrong, I don't agree with what you're doing, I don't like it, it doesn't necessarily mean that I look at that, those circumstances, and agree to change my behavior or agree that I need to do something differently. Sometimes it could be you have thoughts and I can totally honor your thoughts. And also, you know what? These are my standards and this is my philosophy and I stand behind it, right? So those conflicts may and probably will always happen. And how do I want to show up when those things happen? Am I just going to like hide in fear of those things happening? Or am I going to learn how to show up with my values and who I want to be when I navigate those conversations, and also think critically about what kind of different decisions I can make in enrollment and in terms of like how I market, how I teach, to, you know, have less of those things happen over time, right? So there's all this learning, all this maturation for me that was on the other side of me being willing to feel the discomfort of like my own clients whom I love telling me that I'm not living up to my commitments or that I'm not doing it well.
Yeah. The realization that helped me the most was, is like the concept of the yin and yang. That realizing that honestly, no matter what we do, we are going to do both good and harm.
100%. Yeah.
And while that can be like a really discouraging realization, I think it's actually a really inspiring one that like, okay, same. I'm going to be damned either way.
Yeah.
So am I proud of what I'm doing because the benefits are like good to me and outweigh what damage I do? Or, oh my God, is this damage actually, am I not okay with it? There, it is not outweighing it. Let's switch it so I can do good in a different way and do harm in a different way that I'm actually okay with, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I know some of the community that we could say I'm doing harm against, like I'm totally offensive to religious communities with my, with the way that I talk online. Like the way that I talk about cult mentalities and everything, I'm sure is really angering people and really hurting some feelings. And my opinion on religion is it works for some people. Otherwise it wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with letting them have that. But also, like, for me, it was harmful, and not having it is so much better. So I'm going to talk to those people.
Right, right, right. The way I articulate exactly what you're talking about is we're always going to do harm no matter what. There's no such thing as, like, I don't do harm because I'm taking enough precautions and I'm enlightened enough and I'm trained enough and this and that. That does not exist. So if I'm always going to be doing harm anyway, then I want to be intentional about what kind of harm I might be doing. So if you're caught off guard by some harm that you're doing, I feel like that's a problem. I mean, not like a problem, but, you know, you might want to be like, you might want to bring more awareness to it. Just like you are aware that you might be doing some harm to some well-meaning religious people. And you're like, I see that. And I choose that. I'm unwilling to change because of this other thing that's really important to me. Right. Yeah. So for example, is a real example from my life, like right now, which is I'm promoting a masterclass that I'm doing. By the time this airs, it might be over. I don't know, called non-abusive selling. And in promoting that, I heavy-handedly draw an analogy between toxic sales culture and rape culture, because I believe that they're both very serious and very dangerous, and they are based on the same violent, violative patriarchy, which bulldozes over your consent and your safety to extract from you what it wants. And that is what makes rape culture might work, and that's what toxic sales culture runs on. And to me, it's so important to name that. And I have had people reach out to me and say, this is very damaging to, you know, their words were like, to make light of rape culture by comparing it to sales. Rape is very serious and da, 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 da. And you're traumatizing people. You're triggering people by like saying rape over and over and over again. And I see that. And I acknowledge that. And I have so many other people saying, I'm a rape survivor. And what you are naming is so important. It is so resonant. Thank fuck that you're saying it. And I'm also a sexual assault survivor, like so many fucking women are. And to me,
I am too.
Yeah. And to me, I'm not minimizing or making light. I'm not like using it as like a punchline to get sales. Like, it's so important to me to name how violent sales can be, because it's coming from the same bullshit patriarchy shit. So I made the choice. I need to say this for the people who need to hear it in this way. And some people will be harmed by it. And I hate that. I don't like delight in it, and nor am I nonchalant about it. Every time somebody is hurt because of something I did, I feel terrible. And yet I'm not going to change my decision because of where my priorities and values and commitments lie.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I'm on the side here of like, I actually, when I saw that, I was like, thank goodness someone's taking this toxic sales culture so seriously.
Yeah.
It didn't sound to me like you were minimizing. And, you know, again, that, not to invalidate people that have the opposite experience.
Yeah, if you're like, no, that did feel like Simone minimizing it. Simone is minimizing it. You're completely entitled to that experience. I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong to have that. And I'm, as of now,
did tell them that they were wrong, then you'd be like,
a hypocrite. Exactly. I've been doing the opposite. Exactly. So, but I think a lot of people confuse consent-based with doing whatever, they confuse prioritizing consent and safety with doing whatever the other person tells you to make them feel better. And that is not the same thing. That's people pleasing. Creating a safe place in your coaching containers does not mean just doing whatever it takes so that your clients feel amazing all the time and feel validated all the time. It's not about that. It's about making very conscious decisions, knowing that there is no such thing as perfection. There's no such thing as doing zero harm, and making conscious decisions about like, okay, what do you stand for? What is your style? What are your preferences? Who are you here to serve? And taking a stance for it. And unfortunately, because of the world we live in, I think there's no situation in which everyone's going to be 100% thrilled with what you're doing and agrees that what you're doing is safe. Your choices will always be unsafe for somebody. The question is, are you curious about that? And are you being intentional about it?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So, you Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Can I add one more note to on accountability? I think another way as business owners that this is that we can hold ourselves accountable is by hiring intentionally diverse.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Diversely. Like when I put out my application for a new assistant, I was like, hi, FYI, I'm looking for someone who's different than me. I would like to hire someone with a different LGBTQIA plus experience because I do, it is important to me to have everyone within my company queer. And
oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Cause then I'm like, really also the money is going back into the community.
Yeah.
And also different races. Like I don't want just another gay white dude. Like if that was my only application, maybe I would have hired him, but thankfully it wasn't. Yeah. I didn't get any gay white dudes. No one that was like had my same life experience applied. It was amazing. I hired someone who is trans and is super awesome and brings a different perspective to my business. And I've had intentional conversations with him about like, hey, if there's everything, anything that you notice on my website, in my messaging, anywhere that you're like, you don't realize it, but this is offensive to these people. Like, please call me out. Let me know.
I love it. I love it. And you did promise to plug Joyful Marketing a little bit. So I
we have to. Do you want to talk about it or should I?
I don't know. I want it to be like, you just can't wait to talk about how awesome Joyful Marketing is. So please tell us, Alex.
Okay. Well, I do love Joyful Marketing so much. And, you know, I think one of the things that really stood out to me about it was this trust in yourself and your own method. I love that. That was something that was really attractive to me from the beginning, was like, oh, good. This is a container where I'll be encouraged to like actually be myself in my marketing and not to be like, hi, I'm here to create robots. Can you please do things my way?
You know, people, my clients in Joyful Marketing are consistently angry at me because I won't tell them what to do. And I won't tell them if they ask me, is A the right decision or the B the right decision? I refuse to tell them do A or do B. And people get mad at me about it until they realize, oh, Simone is just trying to get me to see that, like, she does not know better than I do about my business. And actually, she just wants me to, she's like, keeps handing me back my own power because it doesn't belong to her. And yes, like, that's a moment when a lot of people have breakthroughs. But yeah, like all of Joyful Marketing in a nutshell is like, you're the boss, you decide. And here's how you develop the kind of skills of like having your own back and the skills of, you know, like loving yourself and believing in yourself enough to go out and test a bunch of things and learn from them and create what works for you. So I think of it as like spiritual work more than marketing work. But we just like use it for marketing. And
which is so fun. You use a lot of the same language that I use in my programs of like having your own back. Like that's exactly part of my simple same process. Shit. Yeah. But the thing that, cause y'all, I reached out to Simone a few weeks ago, maybe, yeah. I don't know, maybe a month ago. I don't know. Anyway. And said, hey, we should do a podcast talking about what it's like to actually, run your business in a way that's not performative, but rather like actually supportive of minority communities, because, you have a call, a monthly call in Joyful Marketing for BIPOC people, and you have a LGBTQIA plus call. And I'm the coach for the LGBTQIA plus call. And I was like, thank you. This is so amazing. One, it's such an amazing opportunity for me. I love it. But also from a business standpoint, like, you know, you actually are assisting the queer plus community by hiring someone from that community. So you're financially putting money into that community and having the person leading the support calls for that community, someone of the community. And I've seen /I did. I was one of the coaches run things where it was like, oh, here's my call for this minority group. But I don't belong to that minority group. And I'm not going to hire someone from that minority group to work with that minority group. I was like, that's fucking ridiculous. Although, again, I did it myself. So
So have I. So we just like learn from all the ways we fuck up. But yeah, it was our BIPOC calls are run by, you know, Black, you know, Latino, you know, not white people. And our LGBTQIA plus calls are run by Alex. So far, are you the one only coach?
I am the only one right now.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I think it's because it's not that we don't have other amazing coaches who are queer, but I just, Alex is such a rock star. We're so lucky to have you, coach, every month. Wow. So that was like some really light chit chat about
just like casual.
Casual hang. Oh my God. I feel like I need a cigarette.
I love that. Mine is like, I need some ice cream and a comedy.
And a cigarette. I'm like, that sounds great. And a cigarette. I haven't smoked in like a decade, but that's not true. But anyway, I was like, is that true? No, I just lied. I don't smoke regularly. All right, everybody. That was, I don't know. Here's all I can say is I just know for a fact that if Alex and I got back together again in 2 years and had this conversation again, there would have been so many things that we would have learned from everything that we're doing now and we're about to do. I'm obsessed with this like makeup channel on YouTube and this guy, James Walsh, who like does not makeup, skincare. His opening line, whenever he talks about skincare is like, skincare is all about progress over perfection because perfection does not exist. And he says that every single time. And so I'm learning about skincare. That like line is baked into my brain and I love it. So it's all about, Alex and I are committed to doing one thing better at a time, knowing that we're not going to get everything right. We're always available to learn. And that is something that I wish was modeled to me. That's something that I wish somebody told me was okay to do maybe 2 years ago, maybe even a year ago. So I hope that for you listeners, like that's something that you take with you. What would you?
Yeah, because otherwise it's so overwhelming.
It's so overwhelming. Progress over perfection, because perfection doesn't exist. What do you want to offer our listeners as like the last takeaway?
I want to just hand them back the reminder that we encourage you to have your own back. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's also any way we could possibly ever cover like all the ways that are having your own back and how did it, like, there's not a correct way. That would kind of be, again, contradictory to the whole entire concept. So you know what having your own back is.
Can I just add something to that? I think having your own back means refusing to believe that the way you are and who you are is a problem.
Yes. Yes.
So if anybody tries to make you, or even your own brain tries to tell you like, oh, I feel gaslit. No, that's probably just you. You're just wrong. Right. Just if you want to have your own back, just remember this. Refuse to ever believe that you are wrong. The way you are, what you think, what you want is wrong. It's never wrong. You are never wrong. You are never a problem.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
And like on that, I had an experience recently where one of my clients quit a program and I was like, oh, hey, just wanted to follow up with some, can I, you know, here, I would love to improve the program. I am not going to try to convince you to come back because I honor your decision. And she was like, oh, the program's great. I just realized that I've been outsourcing all of my decision-making. So I need to go, like, this next stage is me being on my own. I can't even work with a coach. And I was like, amazing.
Yeah.
Fly. Go have freedom. And I was so excited for her because that really truly is having her own back. So yeah, don't rely on whatever marketing or whatever messaging you're hearing that
coach.
Whatever they're telling you, if you're like, hey, wait, this actually is like me not being myself anymore, then it's not right for you.
Perfect. Okay, go fly. Birds, whatever.
Unicorns.
Wait,
pegasuses.
That's right.
Pegasi.
You can be naked on your Pegasi if you want. All right, my friends. We'll talk to you later.
Bye. All right, my unicorns. There you have it. If you are not already, I highly recommend you go check out Simone's Instagram and podcast and everything. She's fabulous. If you're looking for genuine, amazing, human-centered marketing advice, she is your gal. So everything is linked up down in the show notes for you, as per usual. And with that, have an incredible weekend. I love you so much. Mwah. Talk with you soon. If you enjoyed this episode, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with a friend so they too can become more confident. You can also help more people find the show by leaving a 5-star review wherever you listen. And if you want to become a more confident queer with support from yours truly, head to coachalexray.com or use the link down in the show notes. I'm looking forward to working with you.